WCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Crews are still recovering victims from the Potomac River after last night's mid-air collision of a passenger jet and Army military helicopter near Reagan National Airport. Officials say all 64 on board the plane died, along with three Army soldiers on the helicopter. Federal investigators now on scene and held their first briefing.
NTSB investigators say the focus right now is on recovering bodies. The so-called black boxes from both the American Airlines regional jet and the Black Hawk helicopter have not yet been recovered, and NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy says firm answers will take time.
We are going to conduct a thorough investigation of this entire tragedy, looking at the facts.
An Army official says the three soldiers on board the Black Hawk were very experienced. An Army investigative team will work with the NTSB.
ABC's Alex Stone. The NTSB says families are still being notified about those who died. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
From the WRCE Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The Beyond Blessed Pantry is a staple in Baraboo, supporting more than 3,000 households with food every month. The pantry is now in a new home thanks to community support. We reported over the last month or two that the pantry needed to relocate because the building's owner chose to not renew their lease. So what started as a potential relocation to Reedsburg in mid-December took an unexpected turn when a last-minute opportunity in Baraboo emerged. People immediately stepped up to help the pantry buy the new building, which opened Tuesday. For more information on services, visit the website at bbpantry.org. And if you saw something streak across the sky Tuesday night, it was not just you. People all over Wisconsin spotted it around 9 o'clock. It was a reddish color and had a long tail. It wasn't just us in Wisconsin who could see it either. There were people all over the Midwest who were taking photos, and things started to go crazy on social media with theories of what it could be. Well, staff from UW-Madison's Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences say it was a Starlink satellite re-entering the atmosphere. Starlink is the internet satellite company from Elon Musk. Those satellites stay in the sky a couple years, and then they burn up in the atmosphere when their service is finished. And these are dramatic temperatures for us to be feeling in January. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
As temperatures soar to feeling like spring today, records will be shattered statewide. Hitting highs in the 50s at the end of January is about 30 degrees above normal. So it's no surprise to hear that our Wisconsin winters have been getting shorter and shorter. A recent study says we're losing an average of 14 days of winter conditions each decade since 1995. And this is all due to rising air temperatures and climate change.
That's meteorologist Brittany Merlot reporting, and I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to WRCE 107.7.
Wisconsin loses to Maryland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers had climbed to the number 17th team ranked in the nation after a recent seven-game winning streak, but they ran into a hot Maryland Terrapins team that has now won four in a row after beating the Badgers 76-68. Badgers head coach Greg Gard after another Big Ten loss on the road.
Yeah, I didn't think we started the second half real well. The stretch where it got away from us, and we had three or four possessions in a row where we missed some pretty easy looks, so some of them point blank, some good looks from three, and then they were able to answer. I think it was 57-56 at one point, and then they hit back-to-back threes and got some separation.
The Badgers women's team snapped an eight-game losing streak with a win at home over Michigan, 82-75. Baseball, Wade Miley is no longer with the Brewers. The 38-year-old lefty has rejoined the Reds on a minor league deal worth $2.5 million and should be ready by May. Wade Miley recovering from Tommy John surgery. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly cloudy sky tonight, a low near 30, and more sun and in the mid-40s for tomorrow. Some clouds on Saturday, high upper 30s, with some snow showers Saturday night. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs upper 40s. Right now it's 58.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, actor Rick Overton from Groundhog Day joins me to discuss Groundhog Day. Then I'm joined by Chris Hopper and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening, being a part, hanging out. You can contribute at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC-JAZZ as hell. My co-host for the day, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, broadcasting right here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, welcome back, man.
It is always an honor to be with you, my friend.
We're going out later, right?
Yep. We are. Invite all the listening audience to come along. We'll do the post-Dom Salvia show.
Yes.
At various venues in southeastern Wisconsin, throughout the state of Wisconsin.
On Why don't we do that? Roman Court.
Right.
You know how we
Join us.
All right, Jim, I'm going to hold you to it. It's going to be fun. The show is going to be fun as well. Unfortunately, obviously, we have some sad news to report with regards to this crash in Washington, D.C., the plane crash that went down. All fatalities, no survivors. And while that is certainly a tragedy and a national tragedy, we haven't had something like this since like 2009, according to the reporting, Jim. The our hearts go out to the families, some skaters, world-class athletes from Russia and from the United States, people getting on the plane, just going to do their thing, and this happens. And we were talking before the show, I was on a plane in December. I'm going to get on a plane again in March. I'm not a big fan of the flying, and obviously it's very safe, usually statistically speaking, but when these kinds of things happen, it really makes one kind of pause and take note.
It absolutely does. And you sit back in your chair, you're buckled in, and you are confident with a small c that the operation will be successful and you will land uneventfully. And as you just said, Dom, that statistically that's exactly what happens in America. On the other hand, when you see events like this, when you see that video and you're told what is happening in the night sky over the Potomac there and Virginia and D.C., and you quite literally see the explosion of two pieces of transportation equipment in the middle of the air, and plainly you know that they're hurtling toward the Potomac, and you wonder out loud if everyone has been killed in that instant when they hit the water. It is sobering, and as you just said, beyond tragedy. This is human tragedy at the highest level. Again, like you, hearts go out to the families, out to the larger community that suffers when anything like this happens. Yeah. And we all think not only about our mortality, but about the reason for being with each other, as well. And hugging, when you get on that plane, you hug someone, and you look forward to seeing them again, and chances are you will. But because of these kinds of things, we think about a mortality and the brief time that we have on the face of this planet. And then, as I know we will talk, my friend, we also think about the right things to say and the right things to express at a time of national tragedy, and the wrong things to say and the despicable things to say at the same time.
And obviously, we will get there. We have some sound from the administration, not only from Trump, President Trump. He commented today. It was from my what I've heard and the reporting that I've read, it was roundly rebuked as not good, as he put in his Truthy Social the other night. We'll get into that as well. Pete Hegseth now, this was a collision between a plane and a Black Hawk Army helicopter.
So, there's a defense implication here, right?
And of course, Sean Duffy, now the transportation from Wisconsin, he's also being quoted today as well. And frankly, none of the responses that I've heard gave me great confidence that these folks are on their game. In fact, Trump's reaction, making it political, making it about him, and blaming other people, other things, other than and without even the facts,
right?
Lashing out, making it all about him. So certainly, a narcissist in charge in a time of, call it, national mourning, not exactly something that goes over very well, in my opinion.
He doesn't have it in him, as you have said. And again, this is at the risk of minimizing the seriousness of this. Mr. President, this is the easy thing for you to do. This is the time when you can stand up, exactly as you just said, Dom, and say, you know what, we do not have the facts. I encourage all Americans, from whatever political party you may be, whatever your persuasion, whatever your spiritual beliefs are, to hold off on any sort. So again, we already have misinformation out there. You discourage that. That is not helpful. And you say, we do not know all the facts. You say I'm confident between my transportation secretary, my defense secretary, they will have their staffs find out exactly what happened. For now, let me say this clearly and unequivocally, our hearts are broken. And as we retrieve the bodies and return them to the families who did not anticipate that they would lose their loved ones in this setting, we embrace them with our hearts and our minds, and we are with them in their profound sadness. That's what you need to say. And if you decide, if you've got somebody in the West Wing who may not be there, who has a little bit of a literary background, you go back to the same person who gave Ronald Reagan the surly bonds of earth language, right, from the poetry, back at the Challenger. And again, great communicator, putting aside politics and other things, you give him one or two sentences to say, assuming that our current president is just intellectually and emotionally unable to say these things. Give him those sentences and perhaps quote something that is lofty from John Donne or from William Shakespeare or from someone, a contemporary poet in America, or from any place on the face of the planet. That's all you need to do.
And Trump doesn't have to do that. He has staff that can go Google
Absolutely.
Something. Absolutely. Hey, AI, find me something impactive to say in a time of mourning.
Precisely,
and it's just all you got to do is put on the prompter and say it.
And say it, right? Right, exactly. And again, for him being on the prompter, we all know how he does that. That's when we get these very deadpan deliveries that have no spirit and no life to them whatsoever. It is when he's off that system that he begins to say the kinds of outrageous, despicable things that he has said at a time of national disaster, and points to Joe Biden and points to the DEI policies of past administrations and the nation generally as the reason why we had a structural and operational calamity over the Potomac River last night.
It was those black folks, right? That what it was? This wouldn't happen if we hired all white people. You know what I mean? And if I break it down to what he's saying, that's what I'm hearing, man.
It is. Absolutely. It's people. It is those folks of us who look at immutable characteristics and say, you know what? We should look beyond immutable characteristics to embrace everybody. Here is evidence. He is saying that indeed those of you who are supporting openness in hiring, and including in the military, including in the commercial aircraft, all those kinds of things. In sports, we know, obviously, the figure skaters who went down here. Yeah. All of you who believe in that, somehow that attitude about the world, not embracing it, but instead talking about the other, that was responsible for what happened last night at 8 o'clock Eastern time. No, Mr. President, you're completely wrong. And again, I would like to think, although it's probably too much, that Republicans, Democrats, people in between, whatever your affiliation, non-affiliation is, at a minimum, could look at those three or four things that he has said and condemn him unconditionally for saying that. It is despicable.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus Law Review, joining me today. Folks, we'll get you on the lines as well, 855-752-4842. Let's go back to last night, the president's initial reaction to us from his Truthy Social. Here's what he said. The airplane was on a perfect and routine line of approach to the airport. The helicopter was going straight at the airplane for an extended period of time. It is a clear night, capitalized. The lights on the plane were blazing. Why didn't the helicopter go up or down or turn? Why didn't the control tower tell the helicopter to what to do instead of asking if they saw the plane? This is a bad situation that looks like it should have been prevented. Then in all caps, not good.
Not good. Not good.
What? Thank you for the enlightenment. Right. Could have been prevented. Yes. Not good. Certainly. Why didn't these things happen? I don't know, man. You're in charge.
Right.
This is your transportation secretary. This is your defense secretary. You tell us, man.
All of whom are probably giving him some initial briefings, and I'm sure that all of them are telling him in the Oval Office or in the residence there, Mr. President, we do not know a lot. What we think up to this point is some of this. And unfortunately, when you say something to Donald Trump and it gets in his craw and his brain, it gets recited without the filter of the investigation that we just talked about. And instead of repeating, again, unsupported things, I have no doubt nobody told him those things with absolute certainty. Nobody did.
No.
And yet, again, as you saw in the media again last night, an awful lot of questions, because with due respect to our good friends in the national media, they also, you don't have a lot to say. You do not know. You do not know. And yet you've got an hour or two or three to fill. And so you necessarily ask speculative questions of people who are in the aviation area. And you ask people in the military. You ask people who, frankly, who are driving down the highway there, is watching planes come in. Yeah. And but all of that is prefaced by the notion that I'm going to ask you to speculate here. And we don't know for sure. It's all premised by the uncertainty of this. And the fact, once again, that within minutes of this, we've got this affirmation, which now also in some ways it shouldn't, but it will also drive the investigation, right? The president of the United States of America has told us what happened here. It had to do principally with some lighting issues and with the helicopter issues and
Obama and Joe Biden and DEI. I mean, he's got all sorts of people to blame and things to point to without taking one bit of responsibility for himself, without acknowledging the tragedy. And some of the reporting, and you brought it up with regards to what Ronald Reagan said. An author from The Atlantic wrote this. Almost exactly 39 years ago, after the loss of the Space Shuttle Challenger, President Ronald Reagan memorably described how the astronauts aboard had slipped the surly hands of Earth to touch the face of God. Trump is giving us all caps, not good, right? And both Republicans, both have their issues, but certainly one wasn't a narcissistic weirdo.
Exactly.
In Reagan. And Donald Trump, he does not, as you mentioned. I don't think he has it in him.
He doesn't. He apparently doesn't. And, he's done this before in playing in the campaign while he was president before. We have seen this once again. It is fascinating to think, as we all do, how his brain works. And again, especially, as I said,
or doesn't, right?
And one wonders about the capacity that he does or does not have for empathy, for sympathy, for human caring. If you were among the families who lost someone and this is what your president says.
Right. Sorry for your loss. Blame DEI and Obama.
Exactly.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel joining me today. You can do so as well. 855-752-4842. Going to come back with some sound from representatives of this administration. Stick around.
News from the center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell, James Santel, sticking around all day today. Former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturdays at 9 a.m. to 11. Jim, thank you as always. We're talking about the reaction to this tragedy, this plane crashing into a U.S. Army helicopter last night, and the blame game, I guess, coming out of this administration. And it is, frankly, disgusting. I'm just going to put it. We have some sound. Thank you, Aaron, working the board today. Jess P.S. still off. She'll return on Monday. She promises. Aaron, very capable. Appreciate your help today, ma'am. Let's do Trump and the reporter, Donald Trump, saying this is DEI. Let's hear cut two, please.
Are you saying this crash was somehow caused and the result of diversity hiring? And what evidence have you seen to support these claims?
It just could have been. We have a high standard. We've had a higher, much higher standard than anybody else. And there are things where you have to go by brain power. You have to go by psychological quality.
No, Mr. President, not now, not now. That's not what we do.
For your role, sir.
That's right. The higher standard, Mr. President, that you're invoking here is letting the professionals do the investigation.
Right.
That's the higher standard. And you look to your left, you look to your right, you're to your transportation secretary and your defense secretary, and you say if you want to, it should be the second or third thing on the list, but if you want to go down this road, the higher standards that they're going to apply in this investigation, and we will come back and speak to you and to the American public about exactly what happened here. For now, once again, the psychology of this, if you want to use that term, is a psychology of warmth and caring and embracing the people who are victimized by it. And not talking about yourself, not talking about common sense.
What?
Right, right.
I mean, never let a good disaster go to waste. Right. And you try to make some political head of it. And ironically, maybe this is why it's on his head. The U.S. Department of Transportation updated its website yesterday, according to the website, date of Wednesday, January 29th, the title: U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy takes action to rescind woke DEI policies and advance President Trump's economic agenda. So I'm thinking, well, okay, well, they rescinded, number one, so they got it on the mind. That's
right,
on the top.
Right, it's been a exactly. They've been talking a lot right. about this. They've been sending memorandums so that's, intra-agency
that's,
about
grabs
this.
Out, he grabs onto that. But right. if that were, couldn't the next logical step say, okay, if it was, you know, you think maybe it was the woke DEI policies. Well, maybe it was this advancement of your economic agenda. Maybe you're trying to do stuff too fast, too quick. You're not taking your time. You're not doing it right. You're not checking the boxes. You're not dotting the I's and crossing the T's.
And you're sending the messages to those pilots who said, we got to go quickly. We got to do this. Yep. Got to get this done.
Got to get there. Got to get it done.
Right.
Gotta,
exactly.
I mean, is
that less a viable theory than what the president has articulated from the press room today?
I'm just throwing it out there, Jim. More, obviously, it's asinine, but let's hear more. Specifically, cut number three, if you would, please, Aaron.
I'm trying to figure out how you can come to the conclusion right now that diversity had something to do with this crash.
Because I have common sense.
He goes on to say, I have common sense, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't have common sense. It's diversity. So diversity caused the crash?
Mm-hmm.
So what? And the DEI and the wokeness, now from the U.S. Department of Transportation's website. So what, you're blaming the black people?
Right. And the common sense that he is talking about draws the line once again between that, which is racist, and it plainly, obviously, is talking about people of color. Again, I'll use the expression immutable characteristics. Our laws in this nation, in our states, prohibit discrimination, prohibit all kinds of things based upon those immutable characteristics. Our president today is saying, no, those are exactly the kinds of things that cause us harm. Think about that for a moment.
Yeah.
And then also the common sense that he's talking about draws the line between that and some, again, without knowing the specifics, this is a failure of something having to do with mechanics, perception. Maybe in part it's the hardware. Maybe it's human error. We don't know that.
Or combination thereof.
Absolutely. But the point of this is none of this, nobody got into that Blackhawk last night and said, let's go down an airplane. Nobody said that. This was a crash of tremendous dimension. And yes, we need to find out what happens so it we can prevent it if possible in the future. The common sense that you're drawing between this policy and this physical thing that resulted in the deaths of at least 65, 66, 67 people as of this time is, I'm failing in adjectives. It is ridiculous. It absurd. It's absurd.
Racist?
It's offensive. It is racist.
I'll just throw racist out there. Yes. A little bit more. Let's hear the helicopter up and down and all that crap, Aaron. Let's do cut number four.
You could have slowed down the helicopter substantially. Yeah. You could have stopped the helicopter. You could have gone up. You could have gone down. You could have gone straight up, straight down. You could have turned. You could have done a million different maneuvers. Some reason, it just kept going.
Wow.
And then made
analysis.
A slight turn
at
the very end. And it was by that time it was too late.
I mean, what? I mean, it speaks for itself. I mean, the guy's just like thinking he's just saying words because he's up at the podium and he's, you know, getting up in age and he has to comment because he's the president. And this is one of those things he doesn't want to do. Welcome to the job. Welcome to the party, pal.
And I've been in a helicopter and I know that they go up and they go down. And they land. They very seldom, they can, I suppose, hover there in the air for a little while, but they really don't stop, Mr. President.
Let's hear cut number five, please, Aaron.
You had a helicopter that had the ability to stop. I have helicopters. You can stop a helicopter very quickly. It had the ability to go up or down. It had the ability to turn. And the turn made was not the correct turn, obviously.
I stand corrected, right? My president, who's also an aviator, knows better.
I mean, everyone's an expert now, right? What are we doing here on time? Let's get one more in here. Blaming Pete Buttigieg. Cut six, please, Aaron.
And I assume maybe this is the reason. The FAA, which is overseen by Secretary Pete Buttigieg, a real winner. That guy's a real winner. Do you know how badly everything's run since he's run this Department of Transportation? He's a disaster. He was a disaster as a mayor. He ran his city into the ground, and he's a disaster now. He's just got a good line of bull.
I had a sense, right? Oh, yeah. He said the full word.
He said the full word. Buttigieg. And we're going to go to a break here, Jim, so I want to get your reaction. Of course, the audience's reaction on the other side of the break, 855-752-4842. It's DEI. It's that the helicopter didn't go up or down or sideways, and he has many helicopters. He knows. Or it was Pete Buttigieg. It was woke. It was
Joe Biden.
It was everything other than my administration. We're in charge now. We're going to take responsibility for this. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Our hearts go out to the families and everyone involved. And check back in with us. Check back in with us, folks. 855-75-CIVIC. It's time and time again.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
From the WRCE newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The latest in the federal funding freeze saga, Democratic lawmakers and nonprofits spoke out the loudest after the Trump administration sent a memo instructing federal agencies to pause payments on grants and loans. More than 20 states filed a lawsuit, and Wisconsin was one of them. The pause on payments would impact all kinds of agencies and programs, anything from law enforcement to Head Start. Yesterday, the White House confirmed to outlets that it was formally rescinding that memo. Yet afterward, reports said the administration still intended to carry out the funding freeze. Governments and agencies have had whiplash these last 2 days trying to figure out what comes next. Governor Tony Evers called it, quote, a disaster from the get-go, end quote. Meanwhile, two other big priorities for the Trump administration, immigration and tariffs. New data from the conservative-leaning Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce shows how business leaders feel about those issues. Here's Lisa Hale.
86% of Wisconsin business leaders support President Donald Trump's plan to impose tariffs on goods imported from China. As for the tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, only 44% of those surveyed support the 25% tariffs. And when asked how increasing tariffs would impact their businesses, 50% said it would have a negative effect. 26% said it would be positive, while 24% said it would have no impact. This same survey from WMC shows Wisconsin business leaders want to see immigration reform, with 89% saying the plan should start with securing the U.S. southern border. The respondents didn't want a complete stoppage of immigration. They overwhelmingly supported updating the nation's guest worker program to include increasing the number of visas for specialized workers and adding new visa options for high-demand workers to address Wisconsin's labor shortage.
That's Lisa Hale reporting, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Night Agent is a show we've talked about periodically on Nightlight. The second season just dropped on Netflix, and lots of people seem to be finding it. The spy drama drew 14 million viewers in its first 5 days, and according to TheWrap.com, landed in the top 10 most viewed shows in 90 countries. The plot finds an FBI agent sitting in a room in the basement of the White House monitoring a phone that supposedly never rings. Until it does, and a conspiracy unfolds. Great premise, and a pretty good show. If you like heist films, you might enjoy the film Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Gerard Butler is back playing Big Nick, an L.A. County Sheriff's detective, in the follow-up to the first Den of Thieves from 2018. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is also back as bad guy Donnie Wilson, trying to evade Big Nick, who tracks him across Europe. Jackson's character disappeared at the end of Den of Thieves 1, leaving the story ripe for sequel. The film could be 15 minutes shorter, but does deliver with some high-speed thrills and gunfights through beautiful settings in Europe. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly cloudy sky tonight, a low near 30, and more sun and in the mid-40s for tomorrow. Some clouds on Saturday, high upper 30s, with some snow showers Saturday night. A mixture of sunshine and clouds into Sunday, highs upper 40s. Right now it's 58.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Mr. Zomers will have a board game of the week and review the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We are reacting not only to the tragedy of this airliner going down after hitting an Army helicopter, we're also very critical.
Hugely critical.
Of the reaction from this administration. And I agree, Jim. I keep thinking about how easy it could have been. Just put something up there, read it,
right.
Pretend like you have
like
a heart.
You're sincere.
Like you're sincere. Right. It's hard for him to do. It's hard for him to stay on prompt. And that should have been it.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that's not it. And this guy makes everything about him. And there is no responsibility. There's no accountability. This is his FAA. This is his Pentagon. This is now his administration. But he's still continually blaming others. You know, Aaron, let's play that clip again. Cut number 6, Donald Trump blaming the previous administration, or at least Pete Buttigieg. Mayor Pete, play cut 6, please, Aaron.
And I assume maybe this is the reason. The FAA, which is overseen by Secretary Pete Buttigieg, a real winner. That guy's a real winner. Do you know how badly everything's run since he's run this Department of Transportation? He's a disaster. He was a disaster as a mayor. He ran his city into the ground, and he's a disaster now. He's just got a good line of bull.
And there was the president of the United States addressing the country and taking questions about this terrible tragedy and calling out Mayor Pete. And his apparently BS literally says the words.
And commenting about the success or lack of success when he was the mayor of an Indiana city. You know, in the legal world, we talk about relevance, right?
Right.
And an objection to that kind of thing would be sustained. Yes, this has nothing to do, Mr. President, with what we're talking about right now. Has nothing to do with it. It's a nice attempt to divert the attention of the American people. And that's the other great harm, Dom, that you've spoken about so eloquently on this broadcast and others, which is we still live in a nation where people who do not have the sense to discriminate between good presidents and bad presidents simply say, if the president says it, that must be true. And therefore, that's what he's also relying upon, is that there's enough of a population out there. I would still like to think it's nowhere near a majority. And I like to think that people, again, reasonable people on all sides will look at this and react with abject horror to what he has just said. But nonetheless, there are those people out there who will say, you know what? The president of the United States of America told me that this has to do something with hiring people of color or people with a disability or people who are gay or who are from a different nation or all kinds of things. Yeah. And for that reason, if he says it, it must be true. That's the real harm. You perpetuate that absolute meltdown craziness.
And he reinforces it with saying it's common sense.
It's common sense.
Of course, anyone knows that if you do something like that, if you hire a person of color, that something's bad's going to happen.
Right.
That's what he's literally saying.
Right.
It's common sense, and that's the only way to interpret what he says. Pete Buttigieg pushed back today, and here's what he said on the X, responding to Donald Trump. Despicable. As families grieve, Trump should be leading, not lying. We put safety first, drove down close calls, grew air traffic control, and had zero commercial airline crash fatalities out of millions of flights on our watch. President Trump now oversees the military and the FAA. One of his first acts was to fire and suspend some of the key personnel who helped keep our skies safe. Time for the president to show actual leadership and explain what he will do to prevent this from happening again. Mayor Pete's pushback.
And is that question, that issue, frankly, that our former transportation secretary raises, is the question form of that going to be articulated there in the White House, the West Wing press room?
Yeah.
And if someone is going to stand up, not just asking, Mr. President, this open-ended direct examination question, could you please draw the line between DEA and this horrific crash that happened over the Potomac last night? Instead, saying to him, you yourself diminish the FAA, the federal, let's talk about what the A's are, the Federal Aviation Administration, the middle one is aviation. You limited the employment force in this very entity that is involved in the discussion of what happened now. Explain to me why that it should not be drawn, the line between that and what happened. Tell me about that, Mr. President. Is someone asking that question right now in the well of the press corps?
They certainly should be. Some of the observations as reported at the Raw story, journalist Noah Berlatsky said this. If this plane crash had happened 4 months ago, Trump would be insisting it was caused by DEI hires and blaming the Biden administration repeatedly, while the media credulously amplified the lies. Making up claims like that is irresponsible and horrible, not least because it's painful for the families involved. It certainly seems like Democrats could point out that Trump is gutting federal capacity, and that will lead to many more accidents like this one. Though, another one, I'm not blaming Trump for last night's crash, but imagine if Biden fired 100 FAA officers a week prior to a plane crash. Would Fox News cover? What would Fox cover a news cover for the next 2 weeks? Another one, head of the FAA imposed fines on Musk and SpaceX for violating air safety regulations. Musk forced the FAA head to resign because he's overregulated air safety requirements. At the time of the Potomac plane crash, Trump had not replaced the FAA administrator. A little bit more here. Dean Abadilla, a Sirius XM host, if Trump's freeze on federal funding caused the airplane crash in D.C., he should be criminally investigated for murder. A little bit now from, let's see, former Republican Joe Walsh said this. We have had him on the show before. This is not what the president of the United States should be doing right now, not now. And if you can't understand why this is not what he should be doing right now, then I feel sorry for you. My God, he is such an utterly horrible human being. Another one, Shannon Watts, founder of Moms Demand. Dems should call for immediate hearings on what caused tonight's plane crash, including the impact of the removal of the FAA safety protocols and personnel. Here is, finally, another journalist, Judd Legum, L-E-G-U-M. The head of the FAA, Mike Whitaker, resigned on January 20th, 1 year into his five-year term, after facing relentless criticism from Musk for not approving SpaceX missions quickly enough. The Senate confirmed him unanimously in 2023. No acting FAA head has been appointed, as been noted before. The FAA is currently subject to a hiring freeze, and staff received an email forking the road encouraging them to resign regardless of their job responsibilities. And finally, Garrett Graff. Think about this and how Fox and the GOP would politicize an Army helicopter crashing into a commercial airline airplane days after a black woman president tried to gut air safety and install the least qualified man ever as defense secretary. That is the degree to which Dems should politicize this crash.
And you don't have to go very far, right? Let's look at that fork in the road memorandum,
yes,
right?
Let's
look at that, okay?
So what, FAA employees got this?
You've got about 2 million government employees, right? Across the board, all kinds of people responsible for what? For ensuring our safety and security, all kinds of services out there. We're going to give you the option to resign and continue to be paid for several months. Can't completely guarantee that that will happen, but please leave now. And of course, here's the point that you just made, Dom, and the authors of what you're just reading. Democrats, and frankly, everybody who is concerned about these issues, unions, everybody out there representing federal workers and beyond that, vast reduction in the federal workforce like this. Again, this is the FAA. What about agriculture, right? What about the Food and Drug Administration? All these things where we interact. What about Medicare, Medicaid, which, by the way, apparently our incoming Health and Human Services Secretary cannot distinguish between, doesn't know what those are about, but creates chaos, right, for Americans who rely upon government workers to keep us safe and secure. Titled Fork in the Road, a plan for deferred resignations, employees of the federal government given the option to resign and continue being paid until September 30th. In other words, leave right now. We want you gone. We're reducing, slashing, and burning the federal workforce, and we think this is a positive thing for America. Now, can there be efficiencies? You bet there can
be.
Of course, right? We all know that very well. This kind of thing is just, frankly, much like his statements today, again, putting aside their, which is very difficult to do, their outrageous nature. We know what they're really intended to do, to divert attention from the real issues here, and also to continue with this absolutely unsupportable notion that if I slash and burn government, if I refuse to follow the expertise, the people who know what they're doing, which is in the Supreme Court, which is in the executive branch, other places, that that somehow is attractive to people out there. And secondarily, it will create a better America. It does not. It's just the opposite. And if you want to draw a line at all, and again, I think we're all reluctant to do that. We don't know what happened here. We don't know what the mechanical failure was, the human error here is. We don't know any of that. If you want to draw a line right now, it's exactly what the authors of what you're just reading are talking about, this effort to slash the federal workforce, including the FAA. Talk about it, Mr. President.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That's James Santel, a former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, playing out here, broadcasting out Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays. James Santel. Callers, we do see you. Texters, you're prolific as well. We will get to you. But let's continue on a little bit of the sound. Sean Duffy.
Our own Sean Duffy here in Wisconsin.
New
transportation secretary.
I'm not
right?
claiming him. That's not my kid. He doesn't look like me. This is the kind of expertise, apparently, that we have to rely on. Let's hear Duffy cut number 7, please, Aaron.
What happened yesterday shouldn't have happened. It should not have happened. And when Americans take off in airplanes, they should expect to land at their destination. That didn't happen yesterday. That's unacceptable. And so we will not accept excuses. We will not accept passing the buck. We are going to take responsibility at the Department of Transportation and the FAA to make sure we have the reforms that have been dictated by President Trump in place to make sure that these mistakes do not happen again.
Well, thanks for that great bit of wisdom. People expect to land. What kind of... I mean, it sounds like he's just saying things to say things.
Yes.
Same with Trump.
This is the bookend to helicopters take off and they land and they sometimes stop. This is our transportation secretary. When people get in planes, they expect to land.
Although I will say, to me, the most notable part is that he says, we're not going to take excuses. He spoke after Donald Trump on stage said, oh, it's because of DEI.
We're not going to take excuses, but the guy who hired me, who just spoke, blamed Pete Buttigieg and the previous administration and DEI and wokeness and all the other things, Aaron, that you rightly point out. And then here comes Duffy. Well, we're taking responsibility. Here's another thing he said, according to The Hill. We're going to wait for all the information to come in from this vantage point. But to back up what the president said, what I've seen so far, do I think this was preventable? Absolutely. Well, no crap, Sherlock. Right. I mean, this is the finest, the best we have on the case. Don't worry. Sean Duffy's on the case. Don't worry. Pete Hegseth is on the case. Don't worry. Donald Trump's on the case. I mean, thank God there's legacy and institutional knowledge of folks at the National Transportation Safety Board and the FAA, and that can people actually know what the hell's going on, that can dive into it, instead of these amateurs coming out and saying words like, well, helicopters go up and helicopters go down. Thanks.
Right. And we won't accept, we won't be passing the buck. There too, right? It sounds enough like our president is passing the buck to a prior administration, prior policies here. You have to believe that people inside these agencies responsible for investigating this are cringing, even as their tears are flowing out of their eyes for the losses that have been suffered here in America, also cringing in abject disbelief that the people who are supposedly in charge, to whom they're going to write their reports, to deliver their findings at some point, weeks or maybe months down the road.
Or years.
Years down the road. And I'm going to deliver this up to somebody who said, this should not have happened. That's the conclusion that, again, beyond just stating the obvious, as we said at the outset, Dom, none of this has to be said today. The message can be so simple
so
clear.
Yes.
Of caring, of love for the families, of ensuring, and this is the commitment you can make as a president and as a transportation secretary and as defense secretary. We have victims, and yes, there are 67 of them who are never going to be coming back. We've got family members as well. We're going to do everything we possibly can do to identify them, to support them in whatever they need, not only in terms of the bodies here, but also the support that they need as they mourn the loss of their loved ones. That's what you say.
That's what you say. Very well said, James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Oh, don't worry, VP Vance, he's got something to say on this as well, and it's just as...
News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's aerial adventure park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line, it's a text line. I know your folks are there. We be patient. Want to just kind of wrap up some of the sound, and then we will get to it. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m., joins me for the day. A couple more sound bites. Aaron, thank you for working hard today. Let's wrap up the Trump. We're going to skip Vance for right now. Let's go to cut number 10, if you would, please, Aaron.
Do you have a plan to go visit the site or meet with any of the
I have a plan to visit, not the site, because what it, you tell me what's the site, the water?
Or to meet with the first responders down there?
I don't have a plan to do that, but I will be meeting with some people that were very badly hurt with their family member, obviously, but I'll be meeting with some of the families, yeah.
Well, we'll go to the water. What am I supposed? Well, it didn't take him too long. A couple of weeks ago, to East Palestine in Ohio, when that train derailed and they set all the chemicals on fire and all that happened, he was very quick to blame the administration. That'd be the Biden administration when that happened. But now he's like, well, why would I go? Why? Would-? I mean,
he gets everything wrong.
He gets everything wrong. So, and the reaction, I think, ultimately, and I can be offended, Jim, and you have your thoughts and our callers, our audience, but here's going to be the true test, and if and when it ever comes to fruition with the families of these victims,
yes.
What they think. Mm-hmm. It's easy for me. I'm partisan, sure. Mm-hmm. But I could still, if Donald Trump would have said the right thing, mm-hmm. I could acknowledge it.
Absolutely.
I'm not that partisan.
If a friend, a family member were on that plane, and here's what we need to think about. I think this is where you're going with your question and your hypothetical here. If at some point some humanity takes over in the West Wing there, whether it's in the Oval Office, the Roosevelt Room right across the way among the staffers there, and someone says, you know what, Mr. President, as scary as this is, given the way that you go off script on things, we would like to invite the families of the victims to the White House, and we'd like to have a very solemn ceremony, in which we talk about the importance of human life. We talk once again about the commitment that a government can have, even in the wake of this horrific tragedy, to investigate properly, because the families now deserve to know how it is that their loved ones were lost, regardless of where that is. Again, human error, mechanical error, whatever that is.
And regardless of the administration.
Exactly. Do this apolitically, if you possibly can do that, Donald Trump. Invite them to the White House. And here's the question. If this kind of inappropriate response continues from this president, it's already, the harm has already been done. The important things, you've already lost the opportunity to be the magnanimous consoler in chief that you should be. If you get the invitation to come to the White House and have that kind of thoughtful, pensive engagement, do you say yes, knowing that the president's first comment about the loss of my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, my cousin, my friend, was to blame
Pete Buttigieg,
a bad mayor of a city in America? Do I want to go, or do I want to say, no, Mr. President, there's nothing that you can say to me, that you can say to me, that's going to console me in any way? And also, even if he is on script, we know that he will not stay on script. And you are then there endorsing, implicitly if not explicitly, the latest crazy thing that he says in your presence. I think that's a rough decision that people are going to have to make, if indeed someone has enough humanity to reach out to these families and invite them in some way to some event.
You lost all credibility, man, a long time ago. Yeah. I can think of the one off the top of my head when he pondered out loud whether or not we could ingest, you know, bleach it to solve COVID. Right. So, yeah, the guy's got it. When people are dying 1,000 a clip a day, and that's what he was saying, would you expect him to change? One more here, and then we'll get to the callers, 855-752-4842. This is a new one for me. J.D. Vance spoke up, apparently concerned about, what, black and disabled
people? He's our vice president, just to be clear. Okay, is that right, yes, Dom? Yeah, he's our vice president. That's second in line to the presidency. Okay.
Well, let's hear what he had to say. Cut 9, please, Aaron.
Something the president said that I think bears reemphasizing, which is that when you don't have the best standards in who you're hiring, it means, on the one hand, you're not getting the best people in government, but on the other hand, it puts stresses on the people who are already there.
So what, DEI hires stress out the white people that are already there? I don't know how to interpret that exactly.
I'm in an office, and I am assigned responsibilities as a civil servant, once again, to serve people. And I've given some very important tasks, whether it's to keep people safe and secure on the railways, on the highways, medically, healthcare, all kinds of things, agriculture, food, drugs, those kinds of things. And because the person who is in the next cubicle, the next office over, doesn't look like me, doesn't act like me, has a different faith, has all kinds of different, again, I'll say it for the fifth time, and immutable characteristics, right?
Immutable characteristics.
That make us all wonderfully diverse. Because of that, I'm diverted in my assigned tasks to the point that people die. Is that what my vice president just said?
That seems to be what he said, but it was only one clip. We'd have to hear the entirety of the conversation to give him some cover. 855-752-4842. Callers, stick around. We're going to get to some of you right now, but we'll take you over the break as well. Start with Eric from Tulsa. You are next. Welcome, Eric. What do you got for us?
Hey, how are y'all doing? Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to say real quickly, I got a couple points, but first off, what you just said, what J.D. Vance just said, could be the exact same thoughts of all the people that were already in the administration as the new administration came in. Think about that. This inept administration's coming in and putting pressures on all the career officials. So what he said is speaking about himself. It's basically like projection. So real that quickly, what I'd like to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
No,
you go. Go ahead. We've got 30 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, so that one's something to think about. Anyways, first I'd like to say that the DEI, as he spoke about, allegedly what I've heard throughout the day is that there was a directive of the FAA, I think it was, to hire more folks with disabilities. And so that's why they're calling that diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, and so they're trying to be more equitable and inclusive. The other thing about this is that with Trump, if you think about it, with him coming up with this reasoning, think about why. Can I go on the other side about Pete Buttigieg?
All right, Eric, stick over. Callers, stick around. Come back with us more with James Santel on the other side.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll discuss with Sandy Williams of the direction of our nation under President Donald Trump, talk with Bob Amsterdam about the Ukrainian Orthodox Church.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal aviation investigators now on scene of that deadly mid-air collision in Washington, D.C. All 64 on board the American Eagle jet and three Army soldiers on the military helicopter died. The NTSB in its briefing says they haven't recovered the black boxes yet.
Right now, the focus is on recovering bodies. Sources say dive teams have recovered all of the bodies they can reach without lifting the wreckage of the Black Hawk and the jet out of the water. NTSB board member Todd Inman.
There are still ongoing recovery efforts involving the fatalities involved, along with some debris is coming out as well. We will make sure that that perishable evidence is maintained.
NTSB investigators say despite a demand for answers, that the investigation will not be quick, and it will take a substantial amount of time to know why the crash happened.
ABC's Alex Stone. Six of the victims on the American Eagle flight were returning from a figure skating training camp in Wichita, Kansas. This is ABC News.